Chapter 34. What have we got either inside or outside of us, but what comes from God? If we've got a resolution to do right, He gave it us, I reckon, first or last. But I see plain enough we shall never do it without a resolution, and that's enough for me. Adam, you perceive, was a warm admirer, perhaps a partial judge, of Mr. Irwin, as, happily, some of us still are of the people we have known familiarly. Doubtless it will be despised as a weakness by that lofty order of minds who pant after the ideal, and are oppressed by a general sense that their emotions are of too exquisite a character to find fit objects among their everyday fellowmen. I have often been favored with the confidence of these select natures, and find them to concur in the experience that great men are overestimated and small men are insupportable, that if you would love a woman without ever looking back on your love as a folly, she must die while you are courting her, and if you would maintain the slightest belief in human heroism, you must never make a pilgrimage to see the hero. I confess I have often meanly shrunk from confessing to these accomplished and acute gentlemen what my own experience has been. I am afraid I have often smiled with hypocritical assent, and gratified them with an epigram on the fleeting nature of our illusions, which anyone moderately acquainted with French literature can command at a moment's notice. Human converse, I think some wise man has remarked, is not rigidly sincere. But I herewith discharge my conscience, and declare that I have had quite enthusiastic movements of admiration towards old gentlemen who spoke the worst English, who were occasionally fretful in their temper, and who had never moved in a higher sphere of influence than that of parish overseer, and that the way in which I have come to the conclusion that human nature is lovable the way I have learned something of its deep pathos, its sublime mysteries, has been by living a great deal among people more or less commonplace and vulgar, of whom you would perhaps hear nothing very surprising if you were to inquire about them in the neighborhoods where they dwelt. 10 to 1 most of the small shopkeepers in their vicinity saw nothing at all in them. For I have observed this remarkable coincidence, that the select natures who pant after the ideal, and find nothing in pantaloons or petticoats great enough to command their reverence and love, are curiously in unison with the narrowest and pettiest. For example, I have often heard Mr. Jedge, the landlord of the Royal Oak, who used to turn a bloodshot eye on his neighbors in the village of Shepperton, sum up his opinion of the people in his own parish, and they were all the people he knew, in these emphatic words: colon I, sir, I've said it often, and I'll say it again, they're a poor lot, I this parish a poor lot, sir, big and little. I think he had a dim idea that if he could migrate to a distant parish, he might find neighbors worthy of him, and indeed he did subsequently transfer himself to the Saracen's Head, which was doing a thriving business in the back street of a neighboring market town. But, oddly enough, he has found the people up that back street of precisely the same stamp as the inhabitants of Shepperton, poor lot, sir, big and little, and them as comes for a go-o gin are no better than them as comes for a pint o' twopenny, a poor lot. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.